The revolution will be broadcast.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Welcome back, Ooga Chaka. Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only, mystifying oracle of radio, your ghost man and demon, our show, Demonada.
The demon down here. Please leave a message after the tone.
Please leave a message after the tone. That's right. Special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors, Stitcher Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Spreaker, and, of course, Paranormal A, our buddies in Canada, and... what's our sponsors? Attentive Home Healthcare, good people willing to help the ones you love, especially if you're in Indianapolis, Indiana. You check them out, attentivehc.com. And, of course, the SYL Project. Give some love, share some love. Everybody needs love. Check them out, thesylproject.com. Welcome back to Studio World. Huh, Nathan?
I'm here, sir. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. Been a big week. We had to cancel last week. Ooga chaka. I wanted to
say, but everything's fine, right, sir?
Yeah, everything's fine and sunny and back in black. But I heard that song today. It's been, have you ever had a song? Yeah, that's another one. Have you ever had a song just stuck in your head like ooga chaka, ooga chaka? I heard that.
I actually posted yesterday morning. I posted Conjunction Junction.
What's your function?
on my Facebook, and I got so many likes on Facebook about it, but everybody just kept contacting me saying, now that's going to be in my head all day.
Yeah, people love it, man. They love the old stuff, the vintage stuff. Anyway, guys, you might remember last show we did was epic.
Woohoo!
Yeah, with our good buddy Dan Aykroyd.
Yep, I'm still drinking all that Crystal Head vodka he sent me.
Yeah, I know. You know, I don't think, when Dan was on, it was all sunshine and roses about the new Ghostbusters film, of course. And it's received.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I have not.
No, I actually bought tickets, and then we had a thunderstorm here.
Yeah.
I had to call the little number on the back of my receipt and cancel the tickets. So I'm still trying to get out to see it because we lost power here. I couldn't risk leaving the house while we had no power.
Anymore. Oh, yeah. You can't do that, man. You can't do that. You can't. You can't risk it.
No, I mean, well, I fortunately have a generator. Mm-hmm. But while the generator's running, I don't want to leave the house.
Right. Now, Nathan, we're going to, you know what time it is, right?
What time is it?
We're going to start this. Tonight's guest, give me a minute to set up the intro because it cut you out a little bit earlier, okay?
Okay.
Tonight's guest!
Da, 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 da.
That sounds
Hey, wait, that's me tonight.
You sound good right now.
Oh, good. Tonight's guest, Sean.
Yes?
Is one of my closest friends. A man who can help the stiffest shirt get their geek on. Former director of the New York Renaissance Festival and co-owner of the Skulvik Viking Village. Tonight's guest. Spectacular superstar. And my very good LARPing friend, Mr. Steve Krause. Only on the Mystifying Oracle of Radio, your expanded and Demon.
A beautiful thing. That was good.
Thank you. It was my first time doing that.
Yeah, cut you out just a little bit there. When you
did it cut me out? Darn it, was a little loud.
No, it was all good, but just when you said Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Oh, well, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
That's it. And it's a beautiful thing. And you got Steve Bo coming by, and from what you say, he's a glorious individual.
Oh, he really is. The problem that I have hanging out with Steve is we're both geeks. Steve and I are both geeks.
I can attest to that. Yeah.
But when I hang out with Steve, it's like talking Doctor Who with Thor.
Right.
It's like you're standing next to when I was working in radio down in New York, and my radio station just happened to be covering the New York Renaissance Festival while he was director. I walked up to him and said, hey, man, can you come out and we can interview you?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, that'd be great. I'll come out. And he walked out and I'm standing there next to him. And I'm not a tiny guy, Sean.
No.
I'm 5'10". I'm 180 pounds. I got broad shoulders. I feel dwarfed when I'm next to Steve.
Big guy, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, you never know about things like that. He could turn on you and just, like a grizzly bear, wrestle you to the ground. Big guy.
Well, you know those Vikings.
Yeah, they rape and pillage.
Yes,
Did anything happen?
Be able to ask him about that.
Watch him get mad.
What is your rape and pillage quota for the year?
Yeah, how do you feel about raping and pillaging? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, man, it's good to be back. It's always good to have a microphone in front of us, you know?
It is. You know, we missed last week, and there were reasons, and we're not going to go into the reasons, folks, but it was family emergencies, like I said on the air,
yeah,
or on Facebook. But, hey, that sometimes those things happen, and that's why we have archives. You're always welcome to go back and listen to our archives.
They never happen.
You can find them on Spreaker. You can find them on Planet Paranormal. You can find them on Paranormal A. They're over there in Canada. It was funny, Sean. I was actually reading the news today, and one of the articles says, "So the government doesn't believe in the paranormal, eh?"
Hey.
It was a Canadian story, obviously, and I was like, "Oh, they're talking about our friends." And then I read the story and realized, no, it was just a Canadian story. And
yeah, that's just the way Canadian stories are.
They talk so funny up there.
They do that. Anyway, you know, Kentucky jail sends black woman to court with no pants. Have you heard about this?
I have not heard about this. Are we in the news or is this just a story?
I guess we could do the news if you wanted to.
Let's just talk stories tonight. No in the news tonight. The news was awful this week, Sean. Did you check out the news stories I sent?
There wasn't.
It's like
there wasn't
nothing.
There wasn't much out there.
There's nothing weird happening. They're talking about bears in pools.
Yeah,
I live in the Northeast, folks. If you have a pool, you're going to get bears in it. That's just the way it is.
That's how it is. You get black bears, huh?
Yeah.
All right. In the news. Hey. We uploaded the music. Might as well play it.
All right, why not?
It's always fresh. It's always exciting.
Hot.
And tonight it's a little bit early. And it's straight from the G&D show vaults. And it starts right
now.
That's it. Anyway, Kentucky jail sends a black woman to court with no pants, Nathan.
Where did you get this story, Sean?
I just found it at random. This judge won't have it, they say. A black woman from Kentucky was humiliated by jail officials, when she was brought to a courtroom without pants, leaving a Louisville judge in disbelief. "Am I in the Twilight Zone?" she says. Judge Amber Wolf asked on a courtroom video Friday afternoon. That's what she said.
I don't know. Were there ever any black people on the Twilight Zone show?
Well, was there really?
there were few and far between.
Yeah. Anyway, the female defendant in the video was in jail for failing to complete a diversion program for a prior shoplifting charge. During her time at the Metro Corrections in Louisville, she said she was never given a uniform and was forced to spend her time there without pants or feminine hygiene products.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Anyway, they made phone calls to Metro Corrections officials in the video, outraged over the treatment of women. It was later quoted as saying she didn't like wearing pants and held no ill will towards the judicial system. There you go.
Really?
Yeah, that was a quick little sweep.
That was a tiny story. There.
Didn't it sound added? It was a big build-up. Ladies upset. There's
really,
no pants.
I thought we were going to have some huge story with that, and you cut it short.
It's
so
like
now we're trying to find more news.
It's like the Democrats jumped in and deleted the last N word.
No political talk on our show, Sean.
This year, it's not political. It's just humor, man.
Hey, I don't have this story up, but have you heard there's like a new conspiracy theory out there that yet another person about to go testify against the DNC, drops dead.
Yeah, you know, you had mentioned something about this, but I didn't know about the new one.
Yeah, just hit the news. I was just watching it earlier, and now I'm trying to find it so we can tell all our friends about it.
Yeah.
Not for political reasons, folks, but just for the fact that it makes a great, great conspiracy
well,
theory
they,
talk.
They say that Bill and Hillary has a, and we should get Stephen Bassett on and some of our ufologist friends, who should ask Dano about it. It says that they add to their dead body count.
You know, that's it. You know, that's how these conspiracy theories just grow. You know, for me personally, I have my own personal beliefs. I never talk about them on the show, but I love whenever government conspiracy theories about assassinations and things like that pop up, because somewhere along the line, you just have to say, this this seems to be happening a lot.
Yeah, well, people, truth is stranger than fiction. We've always said it. And with the people that have been on this very show, we know for a fact that this stuff does happen.
Well, I'm a firm believer in one of the things I've heard out there, Sean, that what we have to do today is ban pre-shredded cheese.
Oh, if you don't have it ready, I'm ready to go, brother.
Well, if you ban pre-shredded cheese, you'll make America great again.
Great. That was great. Great. Hey, this comes from our friends at the Political Insider. You want to take it or you want me to?
You go ahead.
All right. Well, another Clinton associate found dead. Bill and Hillary's body count increases. Yeah, that's what it says. I don't have a date on this one, though. We didn't do any research this week, folks.
We didn't. We did do research. There was just nothing until like 15 minutes ago.
That's true. Fascinating information is going viral about Hillary and Bill Clinton, which exposes just how truly ruthless they are. In many ways, they are worse than Obama. One major reason I say this is because the Clintons have a long history of people in their inner circle dying under mysterious circumstances.
Reminder to our listeners, we do not take any political sides on this show, but this is the story that was sent to us.
That's right. Or we just found it, maybe, and wanted to take sides and read it. Anyway,
in trouble.
In fact, 46 people, Nathan, who were 46, if you didn't hear that, who were close to the Clintons, have died during their 3 decades of political power. That number should give us all a pause. If Hillary Clinton was a Republican, that number would be in question, asked by reporters every day. Now the latest to be added to the list maintained by WhatReallyHappened.com, that sounds like a credible source, is Walter Scheib. Walter Scheib, S-C-H-E-I-B? I don't know. He was hired by Clinton White House to work as a... Well, hold on a second. He was hired by the Clinton's White House staff. Okay, you ready here?
I'm going.
All right. I mean, lost my place, so you got to help me out here. It's Walter Scheib. He was hired by Clinton White House staff to work as a chef and continued to serve the Bush administration. Interestingly enough, he was reported missing during a hike, and his body was found almost 2 miles away at the bottom of a river. No cause of death has ever been made, but the death date is listed as June 13, 2015. All right, you ready?
Okay.
And I hope they're not going to go through every one of these. All right, here we go. But the list is far more extensive. For example, Mary Mahoney was a Clinton White House intern who was executed brutally at a Starbucks she was managing in 1997. As a lesbian, she became close friends with all the interns of the early Clinton administration. And they
Are they trying to make some connection there? I don't like that.
I like my lesbians. Anyway, as a lesbian, she became close friends with all the interns.
Sorry. I just got this image of Donald Trump standing up there going, I love the lesbians.
That's right.
Those are my lesbians. Show me my lesbians. I'm Donald Trump. I love
the Donald. We're going to get the hate mail over this one.
Yeah, let it roll. As a lesbian, she became close to friends with all the interns of the early Clinton administration, and they would seek her advice after Bill's sexual advancements. Yeah, I did not have... We know the rest. She would have been a star witness during the Clinton impeachment trials. And don't forget Clinton White House counsel Vince Foster, Councilman Vince Foster, who was found dead in Fort Marcy Park in Washington, D.C. He supposedly killed himself with a shotgun and was found a few days later with a suitcase that contained a shredded suicide note. Foster knew the Clintons from his time at Rose Law Firm in Arkansas, and had intimate details of the Clintons' financial situation. Apparently, he made a phone call, ready, to Hillary Clinton just hours before his death. The person who found him never saw the gun. He killed himself with a shotgun, but the person who found him never found the gun.
Well, that's unusual. I will admit that is unusual.
Also, might have heard of Clinton's former lawyer, just to throw this in here because I'm about done. People don't hear them all. A former lawyer of Clinton, Charles Ruff, who died in 2000. Charles was one of Clinton's attorneys during the impeachment trial and was known to have inside information on the White House email scandal as well. Original reports were that he died in an accident in his home, although no details were given. Then the report changed to claim that he was found in his bedroom unconscious, then declared dead on arrival at the hospital. The authorities will provide no details other than the usual quite premature assurances that there was no foul play involved. There you go, Nathan.
All right. So people are dying.
Yeah.
People die every day.
Yeah.
People are dying today who never died before.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Yeah. Come on. 43 of them. Jesus Christ, man.
Well, you know, we definitely have to tell these stories because, well, conspiracy theories are part of what we do.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things you got to remember, Sean, is it's not the Spanish Inquisition. You just can't go in and accuse people.
Oh, I accuse them. We can do anything we want on this show. But, you know, we are on the FBI's or the shadow government's watch list. You know we are.
Well, yeah. Well, we run a show that talks about conspiracy theories. Right. We have to be. And I've had a FBI file for years, Sean, mainly because, let's see, I used to be a prison employee, so did you.
Yeah.
I was a gun carrier, so were you.
Yes.
I was a former member of the SCA, which is the world's largest, or now it's the second largest, private army.
Private army? What was that?
The SCA is a Renaissance recreation group,
okay.
But we are taught to fight with swords and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So we are listed as a private army. I had a blue folder, not a red folder, so, that's how it works.
Yeah. Hey, I got some more up here from our news vault. You want to go next?
You do?
Huh.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, we got more. We got more? Anyway, UFO Sightings Daily, our friends there, I was checking us out. The truth is within our grasp. Make sure to check them out, guys. UFOsightingsdaily.com. Okay, first up, Donald Trump. Since we're on this whole political thing, Donald Trump face found on Mars in NASA rover photo. Is he an alien? Question mark.
I am informed, Sean, from our reptilian underground overlords.
Yeah, what are you getting?
I cannot comment on that.
What are you getting in your senses from the reptilians that control you? Yes.
They don't control me. They just tell me what to do.
Your Viking warlords from the past. Anyway, I have found Trump's face on Mars in an Opportunity rover photo. The face, nose, and hair look so much like Trump's that I had to share it with you. The photo below has his face superimposed upon the rock so that you can see the incredible details. Is this a symbol of an alien in the Mars culture that had power and prestige? One that caused the people of his planet to feel empowered enough to make his face permanently in the scenery? Is this a sign that Trump is an alien or decided from the aliens on Mars? Question mark, Nate.
Well, his hair is kind of like perfect. I mean, it looks fake.
What's he covering up? There's a little small alien.
There's little antennae under there.
Yeah, anyway, they say possibly he does seem to have a magical power in his voice that causes mass hysteria and loyalty.
Well, wouldn't you believe that? Anybody who's watched any of those Trump rallies.
Here's one they had the same thing.
Go ahead.
There was a case long ago in Rocca Pia, Italy, where aliens met with humans there for several decades. They called themselves the W56, sounds like a band, and said there was another group called the CTR. Clear Water Revival, perhaps? One thing it's missing is the W, CWR. Wait, Creedence. What was Creedence? Creedence Clearwater. CCR. CCR. We're missing another C. Anyway, the CTR was said to exploit the human race for financial gains. I am wondering, I guess he meant to put, if Trump is a member of the CTR. Scott C. Warren. Thanks, Scott, for being awesome and writing these, what I'm sure is well-researched materials.
Oh, and the disappearing people are, well, I guess we do have the dates of their deaths and stuff, so there is some research there.
Yeah, yeah. What about the most recent, though? I didn't cover the most recent, did I?
No, and I'm still trying to find that. It was just in the news earlier tonight.
Huh.
Hey, Sean, from Stockholm, Sweden.
Yeah.
July 28th.
Yeah.
An off-duty Swedish police officer arrested a pickpocket who approached her as she was sunbathing with a group of friends.
Well, I can never get that lucky. Oh, I get a fat cop that gives me a ticket.
Mikaela Kellner. Mm-hmm. I said it right. It must be that Scandinavian blood.
Hold on, I get the drink bell out just in case. You know you're going to screw it up, man.
Well, that's right, folks. Remember, this is the G&D drinking game. Every time we make a mistake, you take a drink. That's why you should never listen to the G&D drinking game while you're driving. But Mikaela Kellner, who was have a drink. Who has served as a police officer for 11 years, shared a photo of herself apprehending the man while wearing only a bikini at the, and here we go for a good one, Sean. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Rallambasklafsken.
You were the
Stockholm.
Creepy guy that can make you disappear.
She told the local, oh, it must be a newspaper, that she and her friends were approached by a man who claimed to be selling magazines for the homeless people and suspected something was wrong when he lingered for an extended period of time before leaving. And my whole screen just went blank.
Then did you ad-lib leaving? Are you giving the wrong information, Nathan?
Before leaving, that was the right information. Oh, but folks, go to UPI News and check out this picture of this bikini-clad police officer.
God, smoking, guys.
Taking smoking this God. Man down. She said, I just acted on instinct and didn't think about it that much until after we had pinned him down. When I sat there and looked over at the two other friends who are not police officers and realized that it probably looked pretty funny.
Okay.
I've got music playing here. Hold on.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
And when I realized it was pretty funny, but I would have stepped in no matter what. I am an officer, she said.
Yes.
After apprehending the man, Kellner and her friends called some of their on-duty police friends and had the man properly arrested. Uh-huh. Folks, you just got to go and check out this picture. It's pretty cool.
How
I got to
cool.
say. I have a whole new respect for the police.
Yeah. Nobody ever gets that lucky. We don't get nothing. We get slammed on the
we
door.
We get pulled over by a guy who tells me that I'm driving like a mentally handicapped person with a cupcake.
You know, I think that talking about the government conspiracy, because I got the same thing. Remember I was telling you last week, or 3 weeks ago, I got pulled over? I was on my way to work. I'm driving off, if you guys are here in the Midwest, you might know about Interstate 70, which is usually 70 miles an hour, hence the name. But they had pulled me over, and the guy comes to the car, a little short, fat guy. And I have the utmost respect for cops. I used to be one. But he comes to the car. I said, yes, sir, how are you doing? And I always slip my sheriff's ID card behind my driver's license. It kind of be cool, you know? I mean, who's not going to do that? I don't say, hey, I used to be a cop. I hand it to him. And he goes, what's this? And I said, that's my old sheriff's ID. I used to be a cop. And he says, hold on. And then he comes back and he goes, are you on drugs? Changing lanes without signaling and the rate of speed you were going. Dude, it was 55. I was going 65. So 10 miles over. And I said, was I offensive to you? Did I offend you? And he just stand there and smart aleck. So, yeah, man, I tell you, sometimes you just don't deserve it. But, you know, they said you were mental handicapped. He said, am I on drugs? So I think it's the government thing. We're going to get killed one day.
I'll never forget that night, Sean. You and I driving around the city of Gettysburg and getting pulled over and the cop going, you are driving like a mentally handicapped kid with a cupcake. And I'm saying that in the nicest way because he didn't say mentally handicapped,
no,
folks.
He did.
Yeah, I mean, we never get a fair shake, Sean, you and I.
We don't.
We never get bikini-clad Swedish police officers taking us down.
Rubbing their sweaty parts on us. Anyway, Nate, you know, what is a bonus, and I can hardly wait. Of course, The Walking Dead released their...
I know!
...new trailer this week. Huh?
What do you think of it, Sean?
People liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought, oh my God. First off, it was The Walking Dead. Who doesn't like it? That's right, guys. We're going to do a little Rot Talk talking.
You didn't warn me we were doing Rot Talk.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, it's not official, really, because The Walking Dead's not back on yet. But anyway, you guys hear that music every time during the news. You see The Walking Dead, or the old ones, or when we have a Walking Dead guest on, which is many on this program. We talk about that show. We know we love The Walking Dead. Anyway, I seen the trailer, Nate.
Yeah, spoiler alert, folks. If you haven't seen it yet, we're going to talk about it now, so go ahead.
Don't listen to the show if you haven't.
Stick your fingers in your ears and go la, la, la for about 3.2 seconds.
I love it. They have that, I'm going to start at the very end.
Okay, work your way back.
Was it Master Ezekiel or Prophet Ezekiel? Who was that?
He said, I haven't seen the trailer, Sean.
I can't talk to you about it then.
You have to tell me. Now you've brought it up. You have to tell me more.
Ezekiel is the black gentleman with the tiger. And at the very end, he goes, welcome, I'm King Ezekiel, or whatever he was. Welcome to the kingdom. And, of course, that was to Carol and Carol and Morgan when they show up there. And you could tell that Ezekiel is a bad mofo. And I think the other bad mofo, Negan. Which, of course, guys, if you haven't caught up with our show, we have the greatest from The Walking Dead, all the movies you'd like. No. And of course, from the paranormal genre, we get everybody on. One week might be a lady pregnant with an alien baby. Next week, Dan Aykroyd from Ghostbusters and Blues Brothers. Next week, The Walking Dead. But it's gonna look like it heats up a lot. We are in talks with Mr. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Negan. And a lot of people are saying, are they gonna stay true to the comic books, Nate? Are they going to?
A lot of people are still wondering that, Sean, and they have announced that even among the actors, they did not know over the summer who died.
Yeah, well, there you
are. Because they filmed a different death scene for every actor in that scene.
Yeah. Well, that's the way
that
it should
be. That way, no anyone who might be sneaking up and trying to take pictures of the filming and anyone in the crew would not know who the actual person was who died until the actual season started. Now, we know it's not Rick.
Well, yeah. Are they going to stay true to the comic books where it's Glenn, though? Are they going to?
Yeah. Well, I hope so. Mm-hmm. Not because I want to see Glenn go. I love Glenn. But I'd like to see them stay true to the comic book on this one. Mm-hmm. I think it's really necessary. Because if it's not Glenn, you know, they did throw, remember, they have thrown a couple new actors into that scene. So that we don't have, they could do it without killing off one of the regulars.
I don't know.
But I mean, we know it's not Rick and we know it's not Carl because the last thing Negan says before he starts the bashing is, if anybody moves, rip out the boy's other eye and feed it to his father.
Right.
So we know it's not either of them.
Right.
So it's, you know, it could be anybody. I'm hoping that they stay true to the comic book, although I suppose they could go with one of the newer actors and keep the original crew together.
Right,
but
right.
They've had no problem killing off people we love.
Right. So you never know what to expect with Nicotero and them guys. So who knows?
I got to say, Nicotero keeps you on your toes, and eventually he'll come on the G&D show, and we will be able to ask him all these questions.
Hey, Nate, real quick, we're at 7:28. I wanted to do a question quiz, 1 of 5 Halloween quiz, because I can't wait. It's the season of shadows is upon us. What do you think?
Well, it's Halloween or Sharknado. Let's go with Halloween.
All right. Got to play this. Ah.
Ah.
Here we go, Nathan. Halloween quiz. Do you know the history of Halloween? Take our quiz and see if you can scare up the answers. Number 1 of 5. Who first celebrated what we've come to know as Halloween? A, the Druids. B, the Romans. C, the Christians.
Oddly enough, I'm going to say the Romans because they had an apple festival every October.
Oh, that's terrific. Okay, well, let's keep going.
Was I correct?
I don't know. We won't know until after the end of this.
Okay.
Yeah, we got to keep going. Halloween quiz question 2. The tradition of dressing up started because A, we try to scare away evil spirits. B, it's a way to honor the dead. Or C, when the evil spirits came, they wouldn't recognize you. The tradition started dressing up because of.
I would say is the, so they don't recognize.
So they don't. When the evil spirits came, they wouldn't recognize you. Okay, see. Here we go with the third one. Halloween quiz. Question 3 of 5. Number 3. The celebration of Samhain is to honor the god of the dead. A. B. The end of summer. C. The priest who held the first Halloween service. Celebration.
Would you read those again?
Come on. The celebration of Samhain is to honor A. The god of the dead. B, the end of summer. C, the priest who held the first Halloween service.
It's the end of summer, but it's actually a harvest festival. Oh,
Oh, now you're telling the Halloween quiz people. Okay, number 4 of 5. The Romans called Halloween Pomona Day. Who or what was Pomona? I've had a couple beers.
It was a Roman god, and it was celebrated with the apple festival. She was the mother of one of the goddesses who wound up marrying Hades. I forget what her name was now, but
too long. The town where Romans were first celebrated Pomona Day. A, B, the goddess of fruits and gardens. C, the place where evil spirits dwell.
The goddess of fruits and gardens.
Thank you. All you had to do was allow me to finish.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were going to give me more answers.
What an A. Number 5, Halloween falls on the night before A, All Souls Day, B, All Saints Day, or C, the first harvest moon. Halloween falls on the night before All Souls Day. All Souls Day, All Saints Day, or the First Harvest Moon?
All Souls Day.
Ooh, I think you're wrong there.
Might be. All Saints Day is the day after.
Oh, yeah? Okay, see your results.
Oh, you're right. There we go. The day, it's All Saints Day. Sorry about that.
Anyway, here we go, guys. In the music quick. Boom. I'm cutting it off early. Halloween quiz. Oh, God, this is terrible because you know all your pagan rituals and stuff. Here's your results. You scored 40% correct.
Oh, no.
Out of 5, man.
I think the answers that they gave were wrong.
They said you're a sorcerer's apprentice. I don't know.
What were the correct answers?
Okay, number 1, who first celebrated that we've come to know as Halloween? The most common answer, the Druids.
Yeah, it's the most common answer, but it's incorrect because, as you just said, they celebrated it in Rome before that.
They said the Druids who first celebrated.
All right, fine.
Well, we need to write a strongly worded letter to the people who write history. Anyway, number 2, the tradition of dressing up started because, what did you say?
I said so the spirits wouldn't recognize you.
Yeah,
are they going to say because they scared them away?
Yes!
Yeah, that's a 50-50 there, different beliefs. Go ahead.
Oh my God. The celebration, here's number 3, the celebration of Samhain is to honor, what did you say?
I don't even remember.
Oh, it was the end of summer.
Oh, the end of summer, yeah.
You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I call BS. Anyway, number 4.
The end of summer, but it's really the harvest. It's the harvest festival. But
right. The Romans call Halloween Pomona Day. Who or what was? See, that was the question that threw you off. Right. The Romans. Yeah, because I was like, oh, they just answered. The Romans called Halloween Pomona Day. Who or what was Pomona?
You know what? It was the goddess of the gardens, but
they said goddess of fruits and gardens. You picked that one.
Yeah,
you were right. Halloween falls on the night before. Yes.
All Saints Day.
Yeah, Saints Day. I thought you said, what was the other one? I thought you said
All Souls Day, but Halloween falls on All Souls Day.
Yeah, Halloween falls on the night before was the question, sir. What an A. Anyway, guys, we got to take a break. Nathan, don't you think?
I suppose so. What are we going to listen to tonight, Sean, while we're taking
a break? I don't know, but we better tell them again about tonight's guest.
Tonight's guest? I guess I can do that.
Yeah.
Tonight, he is one of my closest friends. He's a man who can help the most stuffed shirt get their geek on. Former director of the New York Renaissance Festival and co-owner of the Skulvik Viking Village. Tonight's guest, spectacular superstar storyteller, and my very good LARPing friend, Mr. Stephen Krause, only on the Mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
How amazing is that going to be? Cannot wait. Guys, each week on the show, you know we support the little man here. We play an independent band, one we know we love, don't we, Nate?
Oh, yes, we do.
That's right. So when we go to break, we hook it up, we bring in Steve-O. But tonight's band is Uncredible Frog River Root. Wait, no. That's the name of the song. Uncredible Frog River Roots, name of the song. Name of the band. Sorry, guys. Lobo Loco. Anyway, Shadow Nation, Nathan.
Ghostman.
We'll be right
back.
Thank you. Hi, this is Dan Aykroyd, also known as Dr. Ray Stantz, Ghostbuster, and you are listening to Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, tonight's guest, Demon Hunter.
Tonight's guest. Oh, I'm.
Yeah, it's supposed to be you this week. Jesus.
I'm hearing the echo.
Jesus. You got an echo?
I got an echo.
Echo.
It's okay. Well, tonight's guest, he's one of my closest friends. I first met him atop a mountain in Jerusalem, where he was praying to God for forgiveness for the Saxon blood he had spilt. Oh, wait, never mind. That's my copy of A Knight's Tale. There we go. He's a man who can help the stiffest shirt get his geek on. Former director of the New York Renaissance Festival and co-owner of the Skulvik Viking Village.
Ooh.
Please help us welcome spectacular superstar storyteller and my very good LARPing friend, Mr. Steven Krause.
La, 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 la. You guys are talking about The Walking Dead. I haven't seen the last season yet. I didn't get enough warning. I'm sitting here. You mean Carl lost an eye? Are you kidding me?
You hadn't seen that yet?
That's what happened.
No, man, I haven't seen it yet. I dropped a drop cable and of course, you know, whatever else has on. So I started catching the stuff on Netflix and started, you know, just catching up on the seasons as they come around. I started hearing this. I'm like, all right, you know what? I got to do my homework. I got to listen to the show beforehand. So I'm there and pre. And you start dropping these things. I'm like, oh, you're killing me, man. So anyway, hi.
It was all false, Steven. It never happened.
Yes,
okay, cool. So it's just a conspiracy that Coral lost.
It's just
a
story, yes, just a story.
I didn't know that they actually filmed all of the actors' individual death scenes for that. That's pretty cool.
That I thought that was spectacular because I could just see somebody sneaking up to the stage, taking pictures, bringing them back to their producer, saying, "I caught them. You know, they're killing." You know, so and so.
Don't say it.
And the next day they announced that they filmed everything doing it.
Now, that's something else. I mean, kudos to them for keeping the secret. I know that fans of the comic book have been both in pro and cons against the show. So, the fan base is pretty cool about it. But even then, I have to steer clear. Even friends who watch the show.
You know,
really anything that's coming from comic book to it, I try to stay away from.
Steven, you know, I'm not as big a fan of Fear of the Walking Dead. Are you? I can't get into it.
No, I haven't yet watched it. I've seen, you know, I've kind of seen some trailers and other things for it, but I honestly can't even speak on it.
Yeah.
I've heard good things and I've heard bad things, but it's like anything else.
Yeah, I tried so hard to get into it. I watched the first four episodes and I couldn't. And then everybody, of course, you watch the first four episodes and everybody tells you, oh, you should have kept watching. Episode 5 is where it gets really good. And I'm just like.
Oh, yeah. They were saying that with like The Walking Dead, too. It's like, no, man. You got to hang around. Like, you got to watch like 50,000 episodes and then it really gets good.
Right. Now, let's talk about, Steven, you got the Ren Faire. You guys do all that. I'm kind of foreign to this world. I want to be more involved. I always kid with Nathan. I can't imagine the wild sex parties that happen at these. I always think, you know. Oh,
no, Sean, that's the SCA.
Oh, the furries. No, I'm serious.
Actually.
Well, see, yeah, it's been a long time since I've been at the Ren Faire overnight, but I guess you're right, Steve.
Yeah, man.
Ren Faire.
No, it's a New York Renaissance Fair over there in Tuxedo.
Right.
The show, I'm no longer working for them. I started working with them in 03 and wanted to go on sabbatical. And so I stopped after 10 years. So 2012 was my last season there. And during that time, I was a director of the street cast, a writer and an actor and all sorts of good stuff. But took off a year and decided, nah, you know what? It's because you lose your summers during rehearsal. You want to go on out there. You want to go to people's barbecues and funerals and weddings and a whole bunch of other stuff that you miss all throughout that time. But it's so worth it to have something like 100,000 people come in over the course of 2 months and get completely lost in this immersion, in this immersive experience. You guys ever want to come on out, let me know.
Well, it was interesting, too, because like I was telling Sean, back when I worked for the radio station in New York, I showed up at the Ren Faire one day. And you were there, and I walked in and I said, you know what? I know the director.
Let's bring him out here. Well, I was a director, but yeah, I remember that.
And that was one of my favorite instances. And that's when I tell people the story about how I was standing next to you while we were doing the interview. And all of a sudden I look up at you and realize I'm talking with Thor.
I have to steal a line from someone else at the fair. I'm actually much bigger in real life
than Thor.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Sean pointed out to me that when he made up the poster for this evening, you gave him a little bit of an insight on the image of Thor with the wings.
He said, "You're killing me."
I don't know what god that's supposed to be, but having it. So, all right, so check this out. So in the 19th century, when Norse mythology started to come back around as like something to study, right after they started burning Egyptian mummies as kindling, they really started getting into Norse romanticism, or really started to romanticize all of Norse stuff. So all of a sudden you saw like Odin and Thor and Tyr and all these other characters and all these other gods from Norse mythology, dressed up in togas and wearing like laurels. And then they start putting horns on the helmets and all this other kind of stuff. And anybody who knows anything about Vikings, or at least from a historical perspective, will tell you horns don't exist on helmets unless it's like a ceremonial thing. But, dude, you put up a picture of somebody wearing a feathered helmet with some giant Valkyrie-esque feathered wings on it. I'm like, oh, man, his Viking cred just dropped.
See, yeah, I know. I tried so hard. Steven goes, dude, you're killing me.
No, you know, drinking. I give you kudos. I give you kudos because, not a lot of people know enough about them. And certainly, you know, there's certain shows out there right now about Vikings. And Vikings really started coming about in the media not too long ago, again and again and again. It goes like through cycles. And I've yet to see anything out there that's really kind of historical. But then again,
how do you feel about the television series Vikings?
I love the characters on it. I think it's a wonderful story being told for that particular medium.
Yeah.
But the historical, you're covering a period of about 280 years with a single character whose existence, rather Ragnar Lothbrok, is it's debatable. Yeah. We know his kids existed, Ivar the Boneless and others, but and Ivar, I mean, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, Ivar the Boneless, the misshapen child of Ragnar Lothbrok on the show, actually turns out to be one heck of a general. Yeah. But the show itself, I really like the story about it. They're actually incorporating some really cool things from the Eddas, like old stories about gods and whatnot, and only they're turning it into the character's experience. So it's nice to see that. If you know what you're looking for, then it's there for you. So it's pretty cool. Is it historical? No, not really.
Yeah. Well, Steven, let's talk about, because you and Nate and Vikings are cool, but as far as I know about them is rape and pillaging and football, because I'm ignorant when it comes
Dude. All right. So you brought it in before. So there's the Skalvik Viking Village. It's in the back of the New York Run Fair. Yeah. And if you were there today and yesterday and every other weekend, it's not raping and pillaging. It's not rape and pillage. It's rake the village. That's all we really do. We're constantly cleaning. We're constantly building. It's constantly everything else. So, but yeah, they were terrorists from the 9th century up until about the 12th century. If you really had to draw hard historical lines, they were actual terrorists. So it's what we're trying to do is not romanticize it at all. So in fact, I hold lectures pretty much like all day. Yeah. And I'm telling people like the outright truth about them.
Well, how did it start, Stephen? Where did it start and why the desire? I mean, besides world domination and power and all that, why and where?
No, that's you've got a culture that's from a frozen wasteland. Its population continued to grow.
Yeah.
And really, it's seeking land. It's seeking fertile land in which to grow crops to feed your family. And initially, the whole concept of the Viking, the Viking, was you went out there with some arms, and you did what you had to do in order to get some stuff. So sometime in 793, on an isle called Lindisfarne, there was an abbey there, and this is in northeast England, and they came on over, some Norwegians, we believe they were Norwegians, so they came on over in a ship, struck the abbey hard. saw from their perspective a whole bunch of men dressed up in these brown dresses guarding, with no weapons, mind you, guarding gold and silver behind these very large stone walls. So there has to be something valuable there.
Right.
So they come on in. They take slaves. They kill many of them. They take the treasures. And thus began the quote-unquote Viking era. But even then, we have trading towns, cities that had developed in Denmark in the mid-8th century. So you're talking like 40 years before that. And archaeology is constantly finding stuff. So all of that continued. The Viking Age continued up until in England, right around the time of the Battle of Hastings, actually broken up into two battles in 1066. Which was interesting because you had Vikings fighting Vikings, only they were the ancestors of the Vikings who had previously conquered the land there as Vikings, et cetera. It gets kind of convoluted, but long story is, lasts for about that period of time and didn't ever really die out for another century or two with the Christianization of, well, really all of Scandinavia was Christianized by the time of the end of the Viking Age. And the old pagan gods stopped being worshipped. The old ways of doing things had stopped. You couldn't trade with any other nation at that time if you weren't a Christian nation. So they really did force a Christianization of it. And that kind of brought the end to a lot of it, aside from the fact that people all started getting wise as to Viking tactics. So they kind of started. It's like, oh, okay, so these guys are going to be coming around again. Oh, well,
right.
All right, let's do it this way this time. And they eventually won.
So nobody ever really whooped them into submission. It was just the religious culture and the trade deals is what kind of just mellowed them out?
I eventually, yeah. I mean, of course, there were battles won and everything like that. And certainly in the Battle of Hastings, it's actually Battle of Stamford Bridge. That was really when the Vikings really took a hard hit. And there were others, of course, that went down. But I know that we don't have a lot of time for a whole history lesson.
Right.
But yeah, eventually it was trade. Some of the Scandinavians from that era really started to travel around, found wealth. I mean, they were prolific people at the time. They were all over the place. You had the the Swedes. Although I don't know if they were bikini clad like that Swedish cop, but there were some Swedes came on over. They became the Rus Vikings. They ended up traveling down the Middle East, and they brought back silks and silver coins that they were using as currency, though not for the coin content, or rather not for the value of it, but rather for the silver. So they were trading around all over the place, and they found that to be lucrative.
The Middle East, does that mean that the 13th Warrior is true?
That, okay, so the 13th Warrior, no, that's not true. However, the first 5 minutes of it were written about by a guy that Antonio Banderas played, Ibn Fadlan, and he was Persian. I want to say he was Persian. He was a scribe, and he wrote down his encounter. He never actually went with him back to Scandinavia, but he did write how absolutely filthy they were. He did write how they were covered in ink from toe to neck. Amazing twirling patterns. He described them as these giants of a men, absolute the epitome of physique. Well, you're talking about guys that were on a boat, you know, how many dozens of hours a day? Well, two dozen, I suppose, is the limit, on a boat rowing. Yeah. So they're constantly in shape and everything like that. But yeah, that was their experience as far as 13th Warrior goes, and that's where it ends.
You know, I recently read an article that said that the reason the Vikings were in such a bad mood was because they were riddled with worms.
Yeah, there's some scientists out there that I forget the name of the branch of science, but they study poop, and you learn a lot about people.
Poopologists.
And they found worms. Oh. What's that?
Poopologist.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. I mean, is it gatologist? Like, how does that work? But yeah, they found fossilized Viking poop. And I think it was in York that they found it, over in England, which was Jorvik. That was sacked by the Vikings. And I think that's where they found it. So some guy dropped one, and, well, there you go. And the rest of the Vikings, all their help, I guess, was based off of this one poor guy.
Well, you know, and one of the things you had said before, that you are just right in tune with the Viking afterlife. You know so much about that, and a lot of people don't know. We know about Egyptian afterlife, the American way, which, you know, we got a lot of our burial techniques and stuff like that from Egyptians and things of that nature. we got our cremation process from the Vikings, yes?
I cannot say. I don't know how modern funerary rites were derived.
Right.
Yeah. But I can say that cremation was absolutely up there. Burials were absolutely up there. But the concept of the afterlife is fascinating. First off, you have to take a step out of modern thinking, in that you are, during that time, you are not so much of an individual, but rather a part of a community. So everything that you did is all part of that community. Reputation would lower the entire community's reputation if yours was soiled. So everything that they did was all about leaving their mark for the community. But also in Old Norse, they wrote in a section of the called the Havamal, and in there it's like sayings of Howard, or the sayings of the High One, or of Odin. There's a section there where they say, cattle die, kindred die, you too will die, but I know one thing that will never die, and that is the reputation of a good life lived, and loosely translated. But in short, they lived their entire life so that they could have an awesome reputation, so that others who were still living would continue to talk about them. And that's actually my function as far as the Skaldvik Viking village goes, is to be the skald, which is the equivalent of like a bard or a minstrel, only without there's so many wonderful commonalities and yet so many differences between them. But in short, the orator of other people's tales and life stories.
Yeah.
So my job there as an educator is to go ahead and tell these stories. But yeah, one of the lectures I deliver is all about the afterlife.
What did the Vikings believe? I'm sorry, Nate, go ahead.
No, that's go ahead. That's your show.
I was saying, Stephen, what did the Vikings believe happened at the time of death?
Oh, wow. All right. So if you were, let's say that you were a warrior, there was probably no better afterlife that you could possibly hope for than to go to Valhalla. Or to go to Valhalla, and that's where you get that word from. And the concept of it was is that when you died in battle, the Valkyrie, the Valkyries, they would come down. These were the choosers of the slain. They would pick up if you fought valiantly in battle, you died honorably, or you fought whatever. They would pick up your body, or pick up your soul, or a fraction of it. And that's another whole topic. It's just getting into the psychology. What it actually means to be a person. So they pick up one fragment of this and they bring it up, not to Odin, not to Valhalla, but instead to Freya. And Freya, who is a goddess originally of a fertility cult, she would choose you or not. And if you didn't, if you weren't picked by her to become a part of her eternal army, then you would be passed on over to Odin as sloppy seconds, to join and become the Einherjar. And as this, your job was to fight all day and to die in battle, only to be resurrected at night and go into the meat hall and drink and party and everything like that, only to wake up in the morning and go back in battle and die and die and die. So you have this entire recurring cycle of life and death and life and death and life and death. And this was what you were really looking forward to. And the reason for all this practice, the reason for all these drills, was for Ragnarok, which would eventually come, which was the twilight of the gods, the ending of the world as they knew it, and then a rebirth itself. When Odin would call out the Einherjar, they would all fight on his side against the Jotuns or the giants, who were evil, they were led by Loki, et cetera, et cetera. So that's if you were a warrior, but there's also Niflheim. This is another of the nine worlds in Norse cosmology, where you can go down there. If you were an oathbreaker, like one of the jokes I make is, there's a special section of Niflheim. It's known as Helheim, and this is the home of Hel, H-E-L. This is half corpse, half beautiful woman, daughter of Loki. And she oversees this particularly horrendous area that's kind of specially reserved for like oath breakers and people who talk in movie theaters. And that's really where you would go if you were really, really bad. And that all kind of comes full circle of what I said before, and that is keeping one's reputation up. So if you were an oath breaker, you know, you brought the entire community down. So even then, there was a concept of thou shalt not do this, otherwise you're going to go spend a life in torment.
Yeah.
You know, Sean, here's a little tip for you, inside information for you, Sean, that you don't know, but directly affected us.
Okay.
When we were filming Extreme Paranormal, Steve was the guy I came to about discussing the symbol of Ir, which we used Paranormal, which people had an uproar about because they didn't understand that it was a Germanic rune. Because as the Norse spread and they moved into Germany, they actually like spread their religion to Germany, and Germany changed it to fit their beliefs. And Ir, in ways, bits and pieces.
Yeah. Kind of, sort of. The whole Germanic and Norse they did kind of develop parallel, if I understand it correctly. Yeah. But I believe that there was also migration from Central Europe straight on up.
But Ir,
They did share the faith.
Their ear was there. If you died a pointless death, if you died a death without honor, then ear was who you went to. She kind of watched over this part of the afterlife where people went with no honor in Germany.
Sure.
And that was the symbol that I used. And Steve and I spent hours trying to figure this out before we used it on the show.
And that's why we got canceled. You got it wrong. Terrific.
Yeah, well,
terrific.
No, I got it right. Just people had no clue what it meant.
Right. Oh, that's great. So she was the half-beautiful woman, half-corpse.
The Germanic
person. Elbows, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be damned.
But, Steve, I've enjoyed going to the fair, and you do a whole storytelling section outside the village where people can come up and you tell them the histories and the legends and the lore. And I've always enjoyed when you tell the stories that, you know, when you have all these young kids sitting around and you tell the young girls how in the Norse tradition, women had an equal role in the society. They had feminism before there was feminism.
In a way, yeah. I don't know how much time that we have to get into it, but yes. They couldn't vote. So that was still there. They couldn't hold a position of power in politics, if you will. But the women, I mean, everything about them was all about this kind of sense of equality. But then again, you're talking about how it's kind of necessary for that to exist. If you as a people, scarce of land, et cetera, are going to exist in a way where the guy or the man of the house is no longer going to be around, the woman had to have a certain amount of power, and everything from, I mean, holding the keys to every single chest, being able to work the finances, being able to house and feed the slaves that they took, being able to pay any servants that they had, raising the cattle, butchery, leatherworking, and the list just goes on and on and on about what you had to do there in the home. So when you talk about a housewife, you're actually talking about an exalted position. Something else.
One of the things I never knew, and I still don't know, and it's a shame on me since I attend the Sumbul that you hold every year. But if a man went off to war, and women could go to war too, couldn't they? I'm asking you.
I want to address that from a scientific level. If we would have to go back to archaeology on that, and there are new articles coming out about how in the 1980s, archaeologists, when they found graves and they found weapons with them, automatically assumed that they were men. Skip ahead to today, and osteoarchaeologists then take a look at these bones and are like, well, wait a second here. This is kind of weird because the pelvic region is different and this is different, et cetera. Holy, wow, okay, so this could have been a woman, or rather was a woman. But then we also start finding the reasons why or presumptions as to why certain weapons were found in certain graves. It does not necessarily indicate that somebody was a warrior or not. So I, at my level of knowledge of it, cannot speak to it. But I do believe that women would have been warriors to some degree.
Now,
but there were also laws against them wearing pants. So I don't know. No.
But if a man went off to war and he died at war and he had left his wife at home with all this property and slaves and everything, did she get to keep them?
I mean, if she's landowner, okay. I think so. That's a really good question. Normally, I'm the one delivering it. I don't have a Q&A after, so this is awesome. I get to, right after this, I'm like, okay, all right, I got to hit the books again.
Yeah, I believe that it was that way. But hey,
it's absolutely fantastic.
We've gotten to talk about all these great Viking things and the village and the fair, which I love. I got to take a moment to talk to Steve about how we met, and that was in LARPing.
Oh yeah, yeah,
live action role playing.
Oh,
and this is where geekdism comes to its fullest form.
Right. Yeah, this is when you're talking the evolution of Dungeons and Dragons from the 70s into kids. Like, I remember growing up, and there was this. I had heard that a couple of teenagers were out there in the woods and beating each other mercilessly with sticks, and that this was called LARPing or something like that. It was like a live action version of D&D, and I'm secretly going, That's really kind of cool. Wow, I wonder, like, do they dress up in Halloween masks as the monsters, or are there tunnels underneath the city of White Plains where I grew up? And is there this, that, and the other thing? And you know, over to my friends, I'm like, no, that's like totally nerdy, man. We don't do that. LARPing, man. LARPing is awesome.
We met. Steve and I actually didn't get to talk closely for some time. He kind of ran a game with some other people, and I joined in just to point out my geekdism, and we were hanging out doing this stuff. And finally one day I walked over to him and said, hey Krause, what about this, this, and this? And he looks at me and says, you know, I have a first name.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? Because I've never heard it.
It's Lord Krause.
I kind of grew up with that whole monosyllabic name thing. It's like, hey Krause, yeah, what's up, man? Yeah.
But
LARPing, man.
We started with the vampire games. We went into Werewolf and Changeling. We, you know, I've done D&D with you. Those are tabletops. The whole getting involved with this whole aspect, this fantasy role play, you actually got to develop these whole worlds, and people follow you. Like, you know, you're creating these games, these worlds for them. They follow you around because they want to give themselves up to it. What is the whole aspect that people are drawn to this whole LARPing and fantasy world experience?
I think there's actually several doctorate theses on this. As you can tell, there's so much to talk about regarding this. I'm kind of stammering over myself. Doctors, lawyers, people of low income, people of great wealth, everyone of any facet of society is actually involved in this hobby, and it's growing. Over here in the Northeast U.S., it's immense. I think this is the most populous area of LARPs at least in this continent. Over in Europe, some of it is subsidized by the government as a form of art, where thousands of people come together over a course of like a week or a weekend, and they celebrate in full makeup, in full weaponry, in full armor. Some of them are living out like Lord of the Rings and everything like that. So when you ask why is it that people are doing it, what is the draw? I think for some it's to relive something of a literary nature, something that they have encountered. There's a castle in Poland, I believe, and there's others that host Harry Potter weekends, and they rent these old, you know, like centuries old buildings, and they're recreating it. So as a LARPer, for you to go out there and to experience firsthand the writings of someone, I mean, imagine picking up a book and then inserting yourself into the story, only now you have a hand in the direction of the story. So that's got to be one facet of it. And I certainly know that that's why I'm involved in it. And there are others that also see it as, you know what, I'm at a 9-to-5 job that I may or may not like. I have a social circle. That's your typical one. We go out, we go drinking, etc. But on the weekends, I get to become this thing, and I get to escape all of that. I get to do away with my responsibility temporarily and lose myself in something different. So I'd have to say it really runs the gamut of reasons.
Now, Steve, as a trekker, we call that a hologram. We go into a
the holodeck.
Holodeck, yes.
Holodeck.
I remember once watching Voyager, and they came back to the 20th century, and they were watching television and saying, you know, there's really something about just watching a program and not having to be a part of it. But
well, I tell you, Steve, where can I find out more about, you know, the Viking history and you? Where can our listeners go and listen to you and find out more about you?
Well, it's not like I really have a public personality or anything like that, but I'm up on Facebook as Stephen Krause with a PH. I know that you can find me if off of, well, I just liked, well, no, I actually have always liked Ghost and Demon Hunter. So you can see me there. You find me there. Let's see. There's, if you want to find out more about Skaldvik, the Viking village, you can certainly go up to ravensheadproductions.com. Which is the name of the LLC that I'm a co-owner of, and we have that. You'll be able to find links for the Viking Village off of that. You'll also find links for one of the LARPs that we are currently developing, Sagas, and a new one which is coming up that opens up in October as an open beta called Mutsia. And that link will be up on that page shortly, actually.
Now, Steve, the Skaldvik Village, though not directly, but indirectly through Clan Corvid and other clans, hosts a game or a bunch of games at the fair every year.
Yeah, well, we used to, actually. So what you're talking about is Barbarian Day at the New York Renaissance Fair. This usually occurs on Labor Day Monday, so this year is September 5. And I believe it's going to be held over at the Joust Field this year. But yeah, absolutely. It was held in the Viking village for a long time. But again, we're over there in the back of the village, so it doesn't draw a huge crowd. But now we're putting the fair sees the sees the wisdom in putting it up front and center, and that's where it's going to be held this year, is my understanding.
I'm looking forward to it this year. I will actually try and wear an outfit that fits this year, because last year everybody saw my pirate garb last year and said, "Who's that guy in the picture?" So it's
it was kind of weird. Well, Vikings were pirates.
Kinda.
Drake's only been around for the last 20 years. Let's forget about all that. It's
oh, come on, dude. I'm trying to throw you a bone here, man.
Give me some love. Oh God, you tried so hard.
I just
Nathan.
Showed up to give my support. What can I say?
Yeah, but Stephen Krause, Stephen, you are amazing, sir, and thank you so much for coming on. Nathan, do you have anything else for Stephen?
I just wanted to throw out there, Steve, again, one of my closest friends. I will game with you anywhere. I will follow you around. I will talk Doctor Who with Thor. It's all cool. but I just wanted to say, anybody who gets a chance to get out to the New York Renaissance Fair this year, check out the Skaldvik Village. Check out the Storytelling Time. I hope I get a chance this year to sit down and play a game of King's Table with you.
We have tables set up just for that, man. So, Jones is on.
I will tell you, my wife actually bought me my own Cube set this year. So, I've been
that's
playing,
a whole other topic.
Yeah, I've been playing Cube in the backyard all summer. So,
so what happens if I come out with you guys, Steve? And I don't have the dress code stuff. I don't have I just show up in cargo shorts and a T-shirt?
You drink with us all day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's behind your back. I'll call you a Dane, as in a mundane.
I want to play.
But other than that, I don't know, man. I may join you over there at the pub with a drink or something like that. So,
no.
I mean, you will be there amongst 20,000 people. Well, but I don't know. Just enormous amounts of people that are all dressed normally.
I'll make sure you have your own horn to drink out of, Sean.
Yes. I want a sword and a kilt or whatever I got to wear. I'll do it. I want to do that.
Kill.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure. Who's the novice?
We won't go there, right, Steve? Anyway.
No, man. I'm not going. Oh, by the way, hey, Sean, one last thing before we got to go.
What's up?
Samhain. I have to correct you. I cannot help it. My Irish ancestors are screaming at me. Samhain, my friend. Samhain.
I didn't say it right.
I've stopped correcting him on that, Steve.
All right, I'll shut up now.
I should have had Stephen do the quiz, man. Anyway, stay on the line 1 second, Steve. Okay.
Oh, one thing, Sean. One thing before we leave. It is scatology, the study of poop.
Oh yeah, scat.
Is scatology.
Yeah, skitty bop bop scat skitty. That's jazz. If you guys didn't know. So anyway,
so
what do you
say? Scatology, folks, the study of poop.
All right, Stephen, stay on the line 1 second.
There we go.
All right, what do you say we pay the bills, Nate?
Yeah, I know we got to.
I could go all night with Steve, man. He's best. Anyway, guys, special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Spreaker, Good peeps, check them out. Paranormal A, Canadian A, Radio Network, our pals in Canada A, Attentive Home Health Care, good people ready to help the ones you love, AttentiveHHC.org, the SYL Project, theSYLproject.com. Give some love, share some love. Everybody needs love. From the haunted back roads of America, this has been another exclusive G&D show interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Night, guys.